Welcome to the wrestling show that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on lovewrestling.ca. My name is Zach, and I'll be your host. If you're a longtime listener or viewer of the show, then you know that I have a bit of a philosophy when it comes to welcoming uninitiated fans to the world of wrestling. You either got to show them something with a lot of high spots, like a cruiserweight multi-man melee, you got to show them a car crash like Mick Foley getting thrown off of a Hell in a Cell, or you have to show them something really funny. And the latter is exactly what we're talking about today, because I'm welcoming Nick Gossert, the promoter of Lucha Libre and Laughs out of Denver, Colorado. And as you can tell by the name of this promotion, it's all about bringing the worlds of pro wrestling and comedy together. We're going to jump right into that conversation, but first I got to thank the good people who keep the lights on here at Love Wrestling. Of course, manscaped.com, because support for Love Wrestling is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. They just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. So join the over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer from us at Love Wrestling. Use our promo code LOVEWRESTLING at manscaped.com, 20% off your order, free worldwide shipping. How cool is that? Manscaped.com, promo code LOVEWRESTLING. Your balls will thank you. We are back with Nick Gossert right after this message.
Hello, friends. Spencer Love here to interrupt your drive time commuter, your regularly scheduled podcast listen, to tell you about Love Wrestling, the brand new destination to find out more about what you love in the squared circle. We've got previews, reviews, breaking news, interviews, opinion pieces, features, and more, all under one convenient location. Head to lovewrestling.ca, youtube.com/lovewrestlingca, or your preferred podcast player of choice, because you want to check out what you love about pro wrestling.
And we are back. Joining me from Denver, Colorado, head booker, referee of Lucha Libre and Laughs, Nick Gossert. How are you, friend?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Great. Thank you so much for making time to join me today. It was Spencer Love, head of Love Wrestling, who pointed me in the direction of Lucha Libre and Laughs. And again, what a niche. It's like a perfect fit for a conversation on the show today.
Perfect.
Let me ask you, what came first, love of wrestling or love of comedy?
Oh, it's going to be wrestling for me. Yeah. Like most kids, I grew up watching WWF on, I guess, WWE for the kids growing up these days. Right. I am old and very old. So me and my friends would spend our third grade, childhood afternoons and weekends clotheslining the heck out of each other in backyards. Just imitating what we saw with dire effects, lots of tears, bloody noses, and parents yelling at other parents. So comedy didn't really enter my sphere until I was an adult, but plenty of childhood years and adult years beating the ungodly crap out of friends and strangers.
So in Colorado, snowfalls and whatnot, I imagine winter was big for the outdoor wrestling play.
Oh, yeah. If it's snowing outside, then it's just, doing the old snowball fight after being dipped in water and frozen overnight to do maximum damage, which I guess could be kind of like a winter sport hardcore match.
You know what? That should be that's a gimmick. That's a gimmick that someone needs to run with. When I was introduced to your content, I did a bit of a deep dive on your YouTube channel. Lots of great matches there. When I watch your content, I feel like I'm watching a promotion that has like a real sense of its identity, which, quite frankly, I don't see out of many independent promotions. So I want to ask you, what is your mission statement when booking a Triple L show?
Is just to give variety. And because it's the with wrestling, even if you're doing just a regular wrestling show, because I also used to book Respect Women's Wrestling as well, which didn't have the comedy element to it. And with wrestling, there's no such thing as one style of wrestling, one flavor of wrestling. You have to look at it like you're serving a 5-course meal instead of a 5-match card. Mm. So each one has to build to the next, have its own distinct flavor, has to have a palate cleanser to make it, its own distinct entity. So when you have, and that's the same thing with comedy. If you're booking a show, you have 10 comedians and it's, 10 dorky white guys talking about Star Wars, well, that's going to get real boring really fast. So, you do need to have the comedy match, and then you need to have the big man match, and then you need something a little more acrobatic, and then you can have something a little more character driven. And everything needs to be distinct and different in order to kind of layer it to make every aspect of it memorable. You can't really treat the nice thing, when you run a show and you don't also run a school, is you have no obligation to stuff the thing so full of people to give them spots that it becomes just a blur. It's not an open mic. It's a curated, booked piece of art. So when you have six matches, everything is distinct, everything is memorable. It makes the experience richer because nothing is missable. Nothing is, you know, kind of, there's no throwaway time.
Okay. That's very well put. You dropped in the Star Wars reference, and it is May the 4th. Is that where, like, it's been percolating in your mind?
Maybe I was talking a lot of trash about that on Facebook today, being a bit of a, being a bit of an internet bully for no real reason other than I got up too early.
Well, you gotta pop yourself sometimes. Sometimes coffee doesn't do it. Just gotta do a little cyberbullying.
Yep, you know, everybody's getting excited about Star Wars. I have to remind them that, you know, I don't like sand. It's coarse and it gets everywhere.
You mentioned Respect Women's Wrestling. Now, please excuse this lapse in my research. You're no longer the booker there.
Well, it doesn't technically exist at the moment.
Oh, and really?
I mean, it's just kind of on hold until I can figure things out again. Because it was, with Respect Women's Wrestling, it was a combination of, you know, me booking and promoting, but also working with a local wrestling school because they had a great number of local, you know, talented women on the roster, many of which have moved or are no longer involved in wrestling. So it's a more, and also, you know, the venue that we were working out of had some issues. So it's something where it will return at some point in just a different format, probably be like a, you know, 4 two-nighters a year or something like that. So it's just, there's just a pin in it to be determined. So there's not really a date for relaunch planned. We'll just kind of see how things go.
Okay. Well, all the same, apologies for that little lapse in my research in preparing this episode. So back to Lucha Libre Laughs, a huge part of that identity that we were talking about, having the commentary team speaking over the crowd. It reminds me of like an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 or like Statler and Waldorf up in the balcony. I just want to know, has there ever been an instance in which a wrestler overhearing this commentary just like loses it? Do they corpse in the middle of a match?
It has happened. One of the best ones was we did a show in Omaha, part of a festival there, and we were using some local talent there, and a local promoter who let us use their ring came in and shot video because they were trying to like set up an angle for their show with the opening match at our show. The weird deals you make to get things done.
Sure.
And they were not prepared for Sam Talent and Nathan Lund, talking shit. And the guy kept like the guy who was being the accompanying to ringside kept trying to run in, and Sam kept insulting him. And the guy just he was playing. He was this big, you know, big tough guy, you know, badass persona. And he was busting up. He was laughing so hard that when they edited that match together, they had to cut stuff out to keep it from looking like a silly goose. The Silly Goose Express was pulling through.
I was like, out of all the people who have walked through your doors and whatnot, like I've seen seen clips of course, people in your ring. I gotta wonder, has Abaddon ever corpsed?
Oh boy, now that is somebody who can very much keep character no matter what, which is absolutely admirable.
I while I was researching the episode, I watched your early content. I watched some of your later stuff, and again, like that firm sense of identity, just like. You seem to have had it from day one, but I'm wondering if there's any ways that Triple L has evolved in tangible ways over the years.
Yeah, because it kind of came from, because I was loosely affiliated with a lot of the Lucha shows here in town. I'd refereed a few, and then my friend Sam Talent and Nathan Lund wanted to bring wrestling to a comedy show as part of a festival here in town, and so I got a couple matches involved. It was, you know, it's kind of a small show, headlined by a pre-fame Ron Funches. It was a fun time, but it was one of those moments where it was like, okay, there's something here. There's something to this. I just need to ponder it for a while. And I'd been hosting an open mic at my friend's bar. He introduced me to a sponsor with Tecate and Dos Equis, who were willing to kind of get behind the first one. And I just kind of realized, okay, let's try this. And we thought it was going to be like a fun one-off thing. We did it a little bit differently. It was, you know, we had a surf band in the mix as well. So it'd be like comedian, match, band. We dropped the band after the first one because the energy just didn't match properly. But yeah, we did the first one. I don't think anybody outside of my brain knew what was going to happen until it happened. And I thought it was going to be this fun thing. We do it once, we go on with our lives. It did well. We decided to try it again without the, you know, music at that point. And again and again and again. And now it's the albatross around my neck from which I will never escape. And the tweets have been very small, you know, because like I said, we dropped the music after the first one. And then for a while, it was five comics, five matches. Then it was five matches, four comics. And now we kind of have a little bit better of an action-packed show by doing three comedians and six matches. And that's really, I feel, been the most fine-tuning that's needed to happen.
Right on, right on. One wrestling talent I actually wanted to pick your brain about is, yeah, your current Triple L champion, Royce Isaacs, because I'm a big NWA fan. That's like a promotion I've been watching regularly ever since they brought Power back on over on YouTube. And Royce Isaacs was very, straightforward shooter. Didn't realize he had such strong comedy chops.
Oh, Royce can be hilarious. He is, he can be the most serious wrestler there is. Sure. He can also be a very fun person. He is very versatile. I feel like he is at his best when being exactly who he is. But, you know, he has occasionally, you know, had some silly spots. I don't know if you watched the tag match with him and Alligato versus Rochelle Riveter and Dasher Hatfield. But, you know, there was a couple, you know, fun spots in there. But, you know, that's the nice thing with Triple L's. Wrestlers don't need to be comedy wrestlers. They can come in and be as serious as they get. And the comedians are the one that, turned it into what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really interesting mesh hearing the commentary. Like, it's almost like its own level of improvisation. You know, you always talk about how the wrestlers are listening to the audience response, but they're also listening to to Statler and Waldorf, as I've been kind of internally referring them to them on any given episode there. Right on. One thing else I wanted to pick your brain on is the Oriental Theater, because it seems like you've been there since day one. It seems like it's Triple L's kind of home away from home, so to speak. What makes it a great theater to work with?
It was just magic, lightning in a bottle. It was just things came together and were perfect, because when I had this idea, clearly I needed a big room, and I was going to a lot of the venues in town, and either they weren't interested, or they were, you know, it wouldn't make sense financially, or they just straight up didn't respond. And then I went to the theater and they thought it was a interesting enough idea to invest in. It's an independent operation. We came in for the first show, found out the ring didn't actually fit on the dance floor. Because we planned on putting it down on the dance floor, but there's like a wall, because it's an old movie theater built in the 1920s. And just somehow the dimensions of the dance floor, you measure it, it looks like it'll work, but it's like the geometry from an H.P. Lovecraft story, where it's just, you know, the non-Euclidean dimensions don't make any sense to human minds. So we put it on the stage, which became its own kind of character because of that. And we've been there ever since for every major show. And at this point, it is as much a character in the show as the wrestlers are. The atmosphere cannot be replicated unless you find another, you know, weird old movie house from the 1920s with a oriental flair to it, it's like the Aztec in LA, where Lucha Baboom runs, where, you know, a lot of times the venue is as much the show as the show itself.
Absolutely. Like, I think when you say that, I think of ECW and the Philadelphia Arena, the ECW Hammerstein Ballroom. It's amazing what the venue can bring to any particular show, and I'm glad that Triple L has that relationship with its space. Let me ask you, because like comedy and wrestling is very it's a contentious subject with people who wrestling fans who maybe take wrestling a little bit too seriously. So I'm wondering, like, how do you respond to people who maybe think comedy doesn't necessarily have a place in wrestling?
Well, that's kind of their loss, because, you know, it's something a lot of people have discussed. Like, you know, Cabana talks about it a lot as well. You never find a person who doesn't like wrestling. They just haven't found the type of wrestling that they like. You know, it's like a buffet, or like you go to, you know, the ice cream shop and, you know, you just say, vanilla is the only real ice cream. How boring is your life? You know, that's why it's wrestling is so beautiful as an art, because you can have the insanely technical wrestling, the, you know, the catch as catch can shooter style. You can have the Japanese strong style. You can have something where it's just pure character work and being very silly. You know, you can have something like, you know, Kikitaro, you know, being, you know, who does like four moves in a match, but the whole match is fantastic. You can have the brawler style. There is so much variety inside the term wrestling that it's unfair to say this is the only real wrestling, because that's just weird gatekeeping nonsense. Because as a wrestling historian, I can also say there's been goofy stuff in wrestling going back to the 1800s. And I can document that for anyone who wants to ask about that. So anybody who tries to say, well, this is what real wrestling is, they're just trying to say, this is the wrestling that I enjoy, and I'm so narcissistic that I can't see outside my own worldview.
Have you ever incorporated any of that history, like, into a modern Triple L show, be it, like, I don't know, archive footage or just, like, studying tape?
No, I mean, look, one time I did make a poster for Laura. I was like, oh, man, we're like, 60 or 75 years of Lucha Libre and Laughs. Like, it's this long-established show, and I made a poster where it was, like, hosted by Bob Hope with the Smothers Brothers as commentary. Oh no, it was Martin and Lewis on commentary. And you know, I made this fake poster and put it up like it's this, you know, long established, long running show instead of at that point 3 or 4 years. But yeah, no, I have my own show, Pro Wrestling History Nerds, where I get to be a little more. Well, I guess we're still pretty silly, but I get to flex my history muscles over there. But you know, with Triple L, I never want to make anything in jokes or things you need to do homework for. If anybody shows up to a Triple L and doesn't immediately understand what's happening, I have failed as a showrunner.
Okay. If you mentioned all the other styles of wrestling, if Triple L hadn't been comedy, well, obviously you've dabbled in other forms of wrestling to book a show around with Respect Women's Wrestling and whatnot. But what other like types of wrestling would you be dabbling in if not for for doing comedy wrestling?
Well, I love technical grappling. I have a background in submission style, you know, almost like pancrase style submission wrestling. You know, I'm a purple belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I had some MMA matches, and I love good technical, like catch style, Lancashire, you know, world of sports style wrestling. You know, you can see a match like, you know, I remember watching one time, like Quackenbush versus Zack Sabre Jr., where you have a nonstop exchange of holds over the course of 20 minutes. Or, you know, I love guys like Simon Grimm, you know, whatever you want to call him. I had him versus Royce a few years ago, and that was just a technical masterpiece. So, like, that type of grappling is what I love. I've even done commentary for Shoot Pro Catch as Catch Can here in town, which is, you know, competitive, like, still, you know, true catch wrestling. So that's what I love. But I also understand that that's not necessarily for everyone. So sometimes you have to spice it up with other things to get that crossover audience, because you're not always going to win the casual nightlife fan over with a nonstop back and forth exchange of leg locks.
Absolutely. Like you kind of talked about how, you know, the more passionate fans, I'm going to be diplomatic in that use of word, will be gatekeep when it comes to comedy wrestling. But it's flip side of the coin. Comedy wrestling kind of makes a good gateway into enjoying those more technical catch-as-catch-can style matches.
Exactly. You know, I'm not the first person to say it, but hardcore, like the serious, cornet style nerds, they don't understand that a person will fall in love with wrestling watching a 5-minute clip of something ridiculous than that hour-long Broadway of Flair and Steamboat that you put on hoping that will somehow convert them. Those are the deep dives. Those are for those of us who get super into it. You want to make somebody who doesn't think they like wrestling, show them something with, you know, Cabana or Kikitaro or, you know, something along those lines, some sort of an Orange Cassidy match, you know, something that is just like, wait, what am I watching? This is wrestling? I didn't know I liked wrestling. That's how you get people. Because if you're just going for the hardcore fans, you are not going to sell that many tickets unless you are in some very key areas. So, you know, it's like if you go to a place like, you know, PWG or Lucha Libre and Laughs or First Wrestling up in Minneapolis, the fun shows are going to be 25, 30% hardcore wrestling fans, but everybody else is just people looking for the nightlife party that night. You know, you have to have the people coming in who are just like, oh, I hear this is just the crazy party to be at. And they're here to see something fun and weird and different. And they're going to walk out going, I didn't know I was going to love a wrestling show, but here we are.
Right on. Oh, man. I knew we were going to get along, man. You've echoed things I've said for many a year. Like on Smark and Friends, this whole show started as me welcoming uninitiated wrestling fans and sharing ridiculous matches with them. I'm not going to show them Austin versus Hart. I'm not going to show them, you know, like Kurt Angle's finest matches. I'm going to show them Judy Bagwell on a forklift and things like that. That's what gets them in the door. I couldn't agree more. What are some of your dream comedy, some of your favorite comedy matches outside of a Triple L ring?
That I haven't booked? Oh, that's a tough one. Pretty much anything with Orange Cassidy, you know, Cabana, you know, guys like that who just are able to go, you know, I'm going to do this. Because you know, you watch a guy like Orange Cassidy, who is one of the most athletic human beings in the wrestling world, who figured out, wait a minute, I don't really have to do a whole lot. I just put my hands in my pockets and be chill. And so you'll have guys like that where no matter where they go, they're going to make fans because what they're doing is bananas. It's different. It's weird. It's anti-wrestling, inside wrestling, if you will. And unfortunately, like a lot of the very fun shows, you know, kind of, the whole different topic for why they're gone, but are gone. You know, Chikara doesn't exist anymore. And that was where a lot of very silly, fun things that could catch the casual fan would be. You know, I think some of the other ones that are still very fun are places like First Wrestling is my other, favorite promotion. Eric Hendricks shows up there. He made a mistake of letting me referee one show and bless his little heart. But yeah, it's, you'd always tell the people who are fun the people who are fun to be around are the ones that are going to give you a fun show. When the thought process is, I'm going to make this a party and everybody's going to have fun and everybody's going to boo and cheer, and they don't have to know who any of these people are. You know, I remember years ago I booked, it was Anaya versus Mike Seidel versus Keith Lee. Nobody, like, there was like 15 people in that room who knew who Keith Lee was. So they were just chanting Limitless because that's the word they remembered. They didn't remember his name. That was just their immediate reaction. So outside of my own show, those are the type of things I look for. Not the, oh, we're going to book a very serious, 12-show feud. It's what can I pick up that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun? And then, that'll hook me into it. So I don't have a whole lot of specifics, but that's kind of my grasp on things.
You've mentioned Colt, Orange Cassidy, Keith Lee, an amazing roster have stepped into a Triple L ring. Who's a dream talent that you want to come in and just get the audience on their feet and laughing?
I mean, there's not, like, pretty much if I want somebody, I find a way to make it happen. I've got a good reputation at this point because, I have been very lucky with the people that I book, or unlucky because, I tend to lose them to bigger shows where it's like, oh, I finally got Keith Lee in rotation, signed. You know, Shotzi Blackheart was becoming a regular in Denver because of me, and then signed, blessed. I'm glad she's where she is. I don't want her anywhere else. But, I tend to find the people that I want to work with. You know, like right now, I'm happy that Effie loves my show, so I get to have him on as regularly as his schedule allows. Because the first time we had him, we made him a surprise. And I hung out with him a little bit at this GCW show up in Wyoming. And we talked about the business for a bit, he was just like, okay, I'm glad we got to hang out, because when he wanted me for a surprise, I was worried you were some doofus spending his day job paycheck on a bad show. It's like, nope, I pay taxes on this. So let's not tell your friends in town so they freak out. And so, it's just, I do tend to use the same people as much as I can, as much as I'm capable of doing it, and then, so I really don't have those like, oh, this would be my dream thing, because I'm constantly putting together my dream lineups.
You mentioned Effie. If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw him on the poster for Day Drinking Demolition coming up May 22nd, a free show. Is that right?
He's going to be on our anniversary show, which is June 24th. Oh, no problem. I mean, I'm going to resent you forever for that mistake. I will never, ever forgive you. But Understandable. We do have multiple shows coming up. The posters do look a little bit the same. But yeah, we do have a free show coming up. And then our 9-year anniversary show is in June, which Effie will be there. Edith Surreal will be defending her title. A lot of other cool people that'll be coming down and doing the throws and the punches and the yells.
Beautiful. Again, I've been doing a lot of research. I wanted to make sure I had this episode right, but then I just end up conflating two posters. I deserve the resentment. I will learn to, I won't sleep well tonight. I want you to know that.
That's all I want. So long as this eats you up inside, I'm happy.
I promise. It'll be the thing I remember years from now. It's like that time I screwed up the posters in my mind. Nick Gossard, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me here on Smark and Friends on Love Wrestling. Before I let you go, please take the time to let the audience know where to follow you on social media and all that good stuff related to Triple L.
Just the three words, Lucha Libre Laughs. That's how we are on Facebook. That's how we are on Twitter, Instagram. We have amazing photographs. I post as many matches as I can. Our YouTube channel is very active and very deep in match quality and quantity. So Lucha Libre and Laughs, you'll find us pretty much everywhere under those names. That name. I blew it.
See, this is the place where everyone screws up a little bit. We'll all just regret ourselves at the end of it. That's what we aim for here on my show. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you.
Additional support for Love Wrestling is brought to you by RK Athletics. If you're in the Edmonton area, Rich King is the person to speak to about your personal fitness goals. Head over to rkathletics.ca, fill out that little form in the contact sheet, let him know what exactly your personal fitness goals are, and he's going to help you start pursuing them today. And if you're not in the Edmonton area, that's okay too. You can follow him on Instagram or on Twitter, and he's always posting these really dynamic workouts that I myself use as well. It's RKAthletics1 on Twitter and on Instagram. Start chasing your dreams with RK Athletics. Nick Gossard of Lucha Libre and Laughs, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me on today's episode of Smark and Friends. Once again, wrestling fans, if you haven't checked out Lucha Libre and Laughs, you are doing yourself a disservice. You really got to check out their YouTube channel. They've got a wealth of amazing matches featuring the likes of Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Royce Isaacs, you name it, some great performers. And again, the commentary track, reading Stadler and Waldorf, shouting it from the balconies is just, I was smiling ear to ear as I was doing my research for this episode. Cannot recommend their content enough. Check it out, Lucha Libre and Laughs. Sure enough, the episode, the link to their YouTube channel and their social media channels is going to be in the link the episode description just below, whether you're listening or watching us on video. If you like what you heard, please follow me on social media. I'm SmarkMouth on Twitter. I'm Smark.Mouth on Instagram. And you can follow the show at Smark and Friends on Twitter and on Facebook. And of course, you can follow at Love Wrestling CA on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on TikTok. And if you really like what you heard, please head over to ratethispodcast.com/lovewrestlingca. You're not just rating the Smark and Friends show, you're also rating Power Out, NXT, Spencer Love Interviews, Between Two Beards, All Elite Sidecast. Actually, All Elite Sidecast is a video exclusive only, so scratch that one. But all that other amazing content that I just listed is all being reviewed at ratethispodcast.com/lovewrestlingca. Hey, thanks so much for catching our conversation with Nick Gossard. We're going to be back next week. Till then, friends.